Well, in Washington state, opponents of a large oil terminal on the Columbia River have been celebrating a decision late last month by the Vancouver Energy Company to cancel its lease on the project with the Port of Vancouver. This was after Washington Governor Jay Inslee said no to the huge project. But the governor didn't reach his decision in a vacuum. Oregon Public Broadcasting's Molly Solomon reports on how a wave of grassroots opposition managed to take on big oil and win.
Jared Smith drives toward the far west end of the Port of Vancouver. It's a big, empty space filled in with gravel.
We actually still do some work out here.
Smith is the former president of the local Longshore Workers Union, a line of rail cars loop around the area called Terminal 5.
So this back 50 acres where these rail cars are right now is where the oil terminal was gonna go.
Smith parks and looks out toward Portland, Oregon, across the Columbia River. He works as a crane operator at the water's edge, loading and unloading ships as they head down the west coast. When he first heard about the proposal to build the nation's largest oil terminal here, he immediately worried about his colleagues at the docks. The terminal would have brought up to 360,000 barrels of crude oil a day on trains traveling along the Columbia River. If there was a derailment or an accident, workers at the port would be the ones closest to harm.
We're always in favor of good-paying jobs that are benefiting the community, but this, the risk was so high, it took on a whole new level of meaning for us.
The union spoke out against the project, even if that meant turning down jobs and revenue for the port. Less than half a mile from where Smith stands is Fruit Valley, the working-class neighborhood Linda Garcia has called home for 20 years.
When it hits that close to home and you have that visual every day, the fight takes on an entirely different meaning.
Garcia has been active in the Fruit Valley Neighborhood Association, the first of 12 in Vancouver, to pass a resolution against the terminal.
When this whole thing first started, I think we were a little bit worried that nobody would have our back, that we would be poor little Fruit Valley struggling to fight the big bad oil company on their own.
On the day the news broke that Washington Governor Jay Inslee had rejected the terminal, Garcia celebrated outside City Hall with the people she fondly calls her oil family.
Linda Garcia, Fruit Valley neighborhood leader. You guys have been amazing.
To see this many people step up and come forward and help us slay Goliath, you know, it was tremendous.
Garcia's family are a mix of Sierra Club members, retirees, and business owners who are wary of Vancouver becoming an oil town. They've consistently come out in strong numbers to fight big energy projects that have tried to locate along the Columbia River.
This quickly became one of the largest and one of the biggest campaigns we've ever been involved in.
Dan Sears is the conservation director of the environmental group Columbia Riverkeeper. He says Vancouver is part of a wider movement. He's seen growing resistance in the Pacific Northwest challenge the fossil fuel industry. 2 years ago, three oil-by-rail terminals were planned for Grays Harbor, a former timber county on Washington's Pacific coast. Plans for all three were eventually canceled because of local opposition.
The Northwest is stopping those proposals. We call ourselves the Thin Green Line, but I think it's bigger than that. I think it's community by community really envisioning a cleaner future. And I think give people hope that we don't have to keep building this infrastructure. We can do better than this, and we are.
Vancouver Energy recently agreed to end their lease with the port, officially ending any plans to build the terminal. A spokesman with the company says this outcome will have a chilling effect on future energy projects in the state. That's something Washington's business community will watch closely. Lee Nugent is the former head of the state's Building and Trades Council.
We worked for, you know, close to almost a decade to get a funded private industry project, and then we don't support it. Driving privately funded business away without having an alternative is kind of a shallow way to look at industry.
For those on the front lines of the protest movement, this decision signals a more personal victory, one that Linda Garcia is still processing.
It's still sinking in. There's kind of a sense of disbelief, and so I'm really hesitant to celebrate because it's gone on for so long.
For now, though, she's taking a break, but says her picket sign is ready to go if needed. For Here and Now, I'm Molly Solomon in Vancouver, Washington.